Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour of Healing. This is the part two of our last week topic, gaining access and losing possession. As you all know, my name is Candace. I'm going to be your host today. I'm here with Dr. Joe as usual. Dr. Joe, welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Sister Candace.
How has your week been?
Doing great.
That's good. Mine has been actually busy, so, you know. But, you know, we're striving. So from last week's discussion, you know, I felt like, okay, I had to sit down and go through certain things and check myself. Like, do I have talent? Do I have relationship? Do I have, you know, what can I use in my possession? And so, viewers, you know, I'm talking about last week's discussion about how to gain access or what we can use to gain access. And in last week's discussion, we defined what possession was. And we said it's what you have obtained. Possession is what you have obtained or what you have control over. And the access portion is having an opportunity or having being given a platform, you know, being able to get an entrance to whatever it is. You know, it could be a person, it could be a famous person, it could be a stage. So we just brushed down on how to get access. And we were able to see that talents, relationships, knowledge, and favor are these kind of, it's, you know, a few of many that can get you there. All right, so that's what I was saying. I was checking myself, like, what can I use? You know? But I was thinking about last week's discussion, and I was just thinking to myself, and I was thinking many a times when people want to do something big or when they want to pursue something great or help humanity or whatever the case may be, they have the plan, they have the vision, but I feel like there are times we just sit and wait for things to come to us. You know, like we somehow plan all that we can plan. And we feel like if they're a Christian, they're praying for God to perform a miracle by bringing someone to them. If they are a non-believer, they just plan. And some people just wait, you know, they wait and somebody, God gives that vision to somebody else or somebody else buys that idea and sells it or take like just, rocket when they could have done it. So this is something that got me, it got me thinking, okay, what can I do? You know, what can we do as people? How do we make the step? Where do we start? So I want us to start today's discussion from there. Having relationship, how do I start? What, like, I have talent. My plan is to make music video or whatever. I have talent to sing. I have my vision board. Everything is set on there. What's the next step?
Wow. That's actually a very good question. And that actually will lead us into what we're talking about when we talk about possession. Because remember, we define access as the knowledge of what is possible or obtaining the platform, the opportunity of what is possible. And for you to gain that opportunity, having these things alone can give you that opportunity.
Right.
Gauging these things, engaging your talent, engaging your relationships, engaging knowledge, engaging favor, those will give you that access. But once you have the access to be able to do to the magnitude of what you want to do, like you were saying, that is where possession actually comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And so for listeners, I want us to understand that once we have access, how do you get access? You get access by becoming a solution to a problem.
Hey.
And so making yourself valuable gives you access. But once you have gained that access, it pushes you. The second part or the second side to the answer to your question, it pushes you into the realm of possession. Because if you don't engage some of the principles that we will be talking about today, in order to possess the platform that you gain through being the solution, through access, you will lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, you have that instruments at home, you have the keyboard. The way the keyboard gives you access is for you to learn how to play.
Mm.
And so without playing, without being a solution, when we talk about, for instance, Christmas season, many, many places are looking for someone who can play the carols on keyboard.
Right. So
if you have a keyboard and you've never played the carols or learned it, you are not a solution to that problem. And so you cannot get that access. But somebody else will have that access. And so the fact that you have the talent helps you gain access. That's why we spent a lot of time on it. So, yes, it's not enough to write them down. Once you write the things that you have down, then you are venturing into what will give you that platform and what will keep you on that platform. And that is what we will be focusing on today, how we are kept on the various platforms that we climb.
Wow, that's very interesting. So it's not so much so just having a talent. It's not so much so just having knowledge. It's not so much, because that's where I was trying to drive at. Somebody would say, I have all these talents and I don't see anything. But the point here is become a solution.
Correct.
Make yourself valuable. Be somebody that people will seek for, basically, with your talent. In all the relationship makings, make relationships that people will, you know, want to, you know, seek you out. In all your knowledge seeking, seek for something that is rare, basically. That's what you're saying. So be an asset, right?
Yeah, Sister Candace, and I want to correct something there too, not in your statement, but our mindset, our generation's mindset. Because some will think about the fact that, oh, okay, I have made myself valuable, but still I don't have value. Then maybe the problem is your audience. You may need to change your audience. You cannot serve the king's meat to the servants. And so if you believe that you've engaged these principles and you are a person of value, but yet the people around you or your audience are not seeing your value, then you have the wrong audience. And so you ought to change that audience. That is very important. And I wanted to make that correction, because people will pay for what is of value. I mean, we have brands. Why go to Macy's to buy a sweater when you can get the same type of sweater at Burlington? Because the value system of our world today demands that if you want a certain quality, you go to Macy's or Banana Republic or Gucci rather than going to Conway or any of these other lesser stores. So if you are a Macy's, but still the only people coming in there are Conway customers, then you need to change your audience. Because your value is not matching up with your audience.
And, you know, thinking about what you're saying, what's coming into my head is I hear some Christians saying, but it's God's timing. And I want us to hit on timing factor in this, because somebody may just say, my time is not up. I've made myself valuable. I am a solution, but it's not my timing yet. But here is the case, you are saying change your audience. So how does these two things play? In I don't know if you get what I'm trying to
mean. I get what you mean. And as you were talking, a very familiar passage came to mind. And one of the things that we often hear Christians refer to is the wedding where Jesus turns water into wine. Would you believe that throughout scripture, when you study the ministry of Jesus for those 3 years, there was no circumstance that Jesus entered, whether the time was up or not, that he didn't effect change. At the wedding, he says, my time is not up.
But he still did.
As soon as his mother turns around, he says, fill 6 pots with water.
Wow.
When he and his disciples were walking and they came by the fig tree, when you do, Bible scholars have helped us understand that the fig tree that Jesus actually cursed, it wasn't time for that fig tree to bear fruit, but it had leaves all over. What am I trying to say? God does not waste anything. There is no wastage in him. So For my Christian brother or sister who believes that they have stayed with God enough to build capacity and be valuable, then it's not an issue of time. It's an issue of audience. The man at the pool, again, we referred to this man in part one.
Right. When
Jesus came, the man said, when the season comes for the angel to come and stir the water, I have no one to take me in. Little did he know that every time Jesus shows up, seasons don't matter again. And so I respect that the idea that I'm waiting for God's time. Yes, the waiting for God's time comes in our preparation, comes in our transformation, comes in our equipping. That we have to stay with God for Him to root out certain things out of us. Pride, ego, anger, jealousy, disbelief, faithlessness, flesh, lust. He rips those things out of us. That is the timing. So once those things are done, Sister Candace, there is no such thing as timing. I mentioned this last week that we were talking about on weekly prayer, is that we talk about seasons in life. And then what he revealed to me is there are phases and stages in life, that at every phase of your life, there are stages that you have to go through. Now, you moving to the next phase is not dependent on you completing all the stages in that first phase.
Mm-hmm.
So you find that there are people who are in stage three, but didn't finish the stages in phase one. The only disadvantage to the Christian is that in phase three, you may encounter certain challenges that to accomplish them, you need the knowledge of a stage in phase one. So that is where timing comes in.
Mm-hmm.
But once we have undergone the transformation, once God is through working in us to a point where He knows He has our yes, He has our belief, He has our obedience, it's not an issue of time. It's an issue of audience.
You know, this is so powerful because I think sometimes the misconception is that the timing of God means stagnation. But what you just said is far off of it. And I think that's one of the problems. I am valuable. I have made myself a solution. I have become a solution. So I'm somebody that people should be seeking out for. But I'm waiting for God's timing. But with what you are saying is there's something else God wants you to still build on.
Absolutely.
It's not just wait, like you're waiting for God's timing. So you're just sitting there stagnant. No. There is no growth in you. There is no, that like you're not. So what we are saying today is if you've made yourself valuable, if you have become a solution and you change your audience and nothing is happening, that means I think you may have to go back to the drawing board. You have to be going through a, like you still need transform. You need to be building something if that's what.
Yeah, and the other side is, Sister Candace, the change in audience, I think, is very important. And I know it's not the cusp of our topic today, but it's an error that needs to be corrected. Because, for instance, let's say you have become very proficient in teaching Spanish. You are wonderful at teaching Spanish. But you live in a state where everybody in that state speaks Spanish. What are you a solution to? So there is no problem for you to be a solution to. So you need to change your audience. Have we not all heard about people who were living mediocre kinds of life in certain business fields, enterprises, and then they leave that place, go to a different company,
they blow up.
Same talent, their same ability, their same knowledge, their same favor, their same relationships now catapults them like years ahead of time.
Right.
Why? Because the audience needed to change. We are so afraid of changing audiences.
Wow.
And it's killing our generation. Because if you are not careful, you will have an audience that will be limiting your progress. That will be limiting your destiny. Mm. And because of the fear of changing your audience, you will be stuck with it. There are people, Sister Candace, talking about Christians, for instance, that will never leave a Ghanaian-based church.
Just because
I'm a Ghanaian. And there are people who will never leave a Baptist church or a Pentecost church or an Assemblies of God church just because that's where I was born. But it might not be the place where your destiny can materialize.
Yeah.
Change your audience.
Yeah.
If you are engaging these principles, if you know that God has worked with you, you don't have to be a finished product. We are all work in process.
Mm.
And we will continue to be in progress until Jesus comes. I, for one, I am intent on being in progress till Jesus comes. I will never be a finished product, Sister Candace. But that does not mean that I am not of value. So the very moment I find that I have value, but my value is not being recognized or received, then that means I have the wrong audience.
And knowing some people today, I believe we rather stay in the, you know, the example that you made in the Spanish speaking community or state and pray for God's timing.
Or bringing someone outside who doesn't.
I don't, but. It's like, and pray for a miracle and pray for God. Just God one day is going to just make this business blow up and I'm going to be having cost. But they're not seeing.
But meanwhile, just an hour from your border is nobody, the whole that they need
help. It's very interesting. But let's get into the possession. How do we obtain once we get access? What are some of the steps we can take to possession?
Yes, it's important because in the beginning, you did define possession for us. And possession is that act of owning, having control over, obtaining something. And so that which you have touched, that which we have seen, that which we have witnessed with our own two eyes, our own ears, that is what we witness, or that is what we share with you. John will tell you that he gives a validation to their relationship with Christ. And I say that not to be religious, but I want our audience to understand that having possession of what we have access to is a whole new ballgame. You can deploy some of these same principles we talked about in getting access, but it will not yield possession at its suffix. For the sake of time, let's start going through some of them. I think I'll try and give us about 5 if we can, but we will go very fast. One of the things to do to gain possession of the platform that we access is diligence.
Okay.
And when we talk about diligence, we're talking about discipline and mastery. Discipline and mastery. You said something very interesting and powerful in part one, that everybody has talent. But the question is, if everybody has talent, why isn't everybody successful? The difference between two people each having talent is discipline and mastery, diligence. And so remember, there's a parable in the Bible about the man who gave talents to his workers. The one with 5 was diligent enough to gain 5 more. The one with 2 was diligent enough to gain 2 more. But the one with 1 did not gain any. Why? Because he says, I dug and I hid it in the soil. So there is no discipline. And there is no mastery. He did not put in any effort to make what he had. Remember, they all had talent. Whether you had 1 or 10, you still had talent.
Right.
And so the fact that you had talent, they could have used it. But lack of diligence will make even the most skillful of people live a poor life. You need discipline and you need mastery. I hope that is clear to our audience, because the talent you have, the knowledge you possess, the way you are able to possess the people or the platforms that you get is to be able to master what you have. So, Sister Candice, I gave an example about when we have climbed the stage and now we have followers. How do you possess the people you have access to? Is to be disciplined in what you have and master what you are feeding them. That is diligence. So when you are diligent towards that 5,000, then now they become embodiments of what you are teaching. I kid you not, Sister Candice, there are certain churches that they are leaders, especially those with the grace for teaching. They have taught their members so well that when you meet someone and you look at their mannerisms and the way they conduct themselves, if you are familiar with that church, no one will tell you that this is a child of or a member of that church.
Mm-hmm.
That is what diligence is about. That you so master what you are feeding your people, that their very lives become an embodiment of what you are selling them.
Wow.
And it's unfortunate, but we see this in the world a lot. Not so much with the Christian body, but with worldly things.
Wow.
There are TV shows that people wanted to module their lives about these TV characters.
They know how to capture the audience.
Why? Because they are diligent. And so even though what they are doing might be bad, they are doing it with mastery.
Wow.
And so people want to be like them. They start buying clothes like them. They start painting their lips like them. They start fixing their nails like them. Why? Because of diligence. Businessman, the products you are selling, there is nothing wrong with the products, but you are not diligent enough to master what your audience needs. And as long as you continue to waver in that mediocre way of doing business, you will continue not to have possession of your customers.
Wow.
There are businesses. I don't want to dwell much on this, but there are businesses that people will not leave them to go buy something elsewhere. Let's take Costco, for instance. I know certain families that they don't have that many people in the family, but they will always buy Costco branded things. Why? Because the marketers, Costco, have studied and realized that we have some level of quality that we need to keep our things to. That is mastery and discipline. Wow. And so they make sure that their stuff is built up to that quality. Do you know, Sister Candice, that if Costco will sell anything that they need, they will go buy it from Costco. That is diligence. That's point number one.
That's interesting. Wow.
The other way you take possession through courage and confidence. Courage and confidence. And I will explain.
What if I don't have courage and confidence?
So, courage and confidence, Sister Candice, comes as a result of your belief and your preparation.
Okay.
So anyone who takes the time to honestly prepare before God and man has confidence in themselves. Not too long ago, there was the Olympic competitions. Would you believe me if I tell you that every single runner who lined up on that 100 meter dash believed they could win? Because in their countries, they had been vetted and they came out as the fastest. And so they came with the confidence based on their preparation and their belief in the results they obtained in their home countries that they can win the Olympics.
Wow.
They don't just show up. And so if you are going to possess your audience, you need to ensure, verify that you are preparing adequately. Because if you don't prepare right for that business, if you don't prepare right before you start making that pure water company, you will find that your drinks or your water will have impurities in there when tested. And that will cause you to not have confidence in your product.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say every day, if you don't have confidence in what you are able to do, why on earth should someone else have confidence in what you
confidence. If you don't believe in your product, who should?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll leave that there.
Courage and confidence.
The third way I want to share with our audience about gaining possession of the access that we have is through communication, especially our speech or the way we talk. And Sister Candace, this is a big one for our generation. Our generation has not mastered the way to talk. It's sad, but many a times I come in contact with young people and sometimes they will say things like, and I'm pretty sure you have heard these too, dear audience, that they will say, why do you talk like that?
What do you mean?
Why do you talk like that? Why are you so polite in your talking?
Oh my God, I've heard this.
You've heard it too. Why? Someone actually told me, he said, there are shorter words than spelling out the whole thing. And I said, give me an example. He said, you can say thanks instead of thank you. And I said, no. My preacher has taught me to understand that saying thanks is a mediocre way of showing appreciation. Say thank you.
Oh, my God. Somebody literally told me, you have to get away from all this politeness.
All right. So I'm preaching to the choir here. I don't even need to explain this any further.
You have to start being polite. Like, we're cool now.
But you know that, Sister Candace, in the presence of kings, there are ways to talk. In the presence of dignitaries, there is a way and manner we talk. And I say that because our generation, for the most part, is not creating that distinction. This is where it matters. That if anyone in a place of honor, whether a king or a dignitary, will keep you by themselves, by their side, then you must be speaking the right way. So it's not just about gaining access to them. Yes, you have access to the king. You have access to the CEO of your business. But the way you communicate will show whether they will keep you by them, their side, when they are going for those intense meetings, or they will tell their secretary to tell you they are not in the office on those days. So the way we talk matters. We are in an era where we text more than talk, well, in some stages. And in texting, you want to be brief as possible. But unfortunately, we have let that influence the way we communicate verbally. And so we find ourselves talking our text. Ah, that's a good phrase. We find ourselves talking our text. I repeated it because it's so good. And so we are bringing in all those ways of talking. Another thing is the way you speak can bring calm. The reason why there is so much noise and little communication in the proper way is because we are not staying to make sure that we have the right backing. for our voice. So talking about backing for our voice, I'm talking about spiritual matters here. And when you bring it to the business field, the backing to your voice can be your portfolio. Your portfolio is what allows the three words or sentences you say become something that a multi-billion company want to invest in. Mm-hmm. Why? Because your portfolio backs your voice.
Mm.
In ministry, the Spirit of God is the one who backs the voice. And so you will find that a preacher will stand there with a very boring message. Excuse my word choice. But after that boring message, you see the number of people who will flock to the front to give their lives to Christ. And then you will see a minister talking with all the big words and all the jargons and the sounds, and yet not even a single soul
can be won.
Convicted. Mm-hmm. Why? Because conviction is not in the words that they are speaking. It's in the backing of the Spirit.
Of their language.
All right? And so, in both worlds, what gives your speech weight? What gives your talk weight? Is the backing that you have. Is the portfolio, your resume, your CV. It's your experience in the business field that gives your voice power and weight. So, my dear young listener, before you stand to say a lot of things, one, make sure you are choosing the right words, because that's important.
And
but also, make sure that you have the backing that will make your words weightier.
Valuable too.
A man once said that as people get older, their words become fewer. But the impact of their words become greater. And when I heard it, I was like, no, I have to pray for this grace. Because I want my words to be fewer. I want to do the last two very quickly. And credibility is another way of possession. And that ties into your CV, your experience, but also who is backing you. There are people, if they stack their credibility on you, that is your breakthrough. You don't need anything else. That is your breakthrough. And so relationships all come under credibility. Your relationships will give you access, but the credibility of the people you are related with will give you possession. I don't think that makes sense. Relationships will give you access, but the credibility of the people you are in relationship with will give you possession. So the people backing you, the support, the
credibility,
will give you that ability to possess your platform or your audience. And then finally, I will talk about appearance. Oh, appearance. I think this fits so well with our generation.
We want to be cute.
You know, when we were in high school, I think it was during the time that we were in high school that this thing became a big thing, dress for success. And our principal will make all the athletes come to school with suit and tie.
I remember.
And at the time, I did not understand. So I was with our principal. And as we were sitting there, I was asking him some of these things. And I said, why dress for success? Why so much emphasis on that? I'm a soccer player. I'm coming to school. You make me wear a suit and a tie. Only to go to the locker room when I get to the place I'm going, especially the basketball players and the track players, to go to the locker room and change. And he said to me that when you present yourself to the opposing school as disciplined, even in your outfit, it puts something in their mind that you are disciplined on the court, on the field. And so that gives you a leverage right away.
Interesting.
Oh my goodness. Maybe we should have practiced a bit harder when our teacher told us, our coach told us to practice, because these people looks like they've taken their game serious.
Right.
Have not even stepped foot on the field. You gain an advantage, and if anyone did athletics in school, they know that leverage is everything. Once you gain that advantage, you can master. That is one form or one way of explaining appearance. The other way is our looks. Not every outfit is fit for every occasion.
Right.
I need to belabor this, but Sister Candace, sometimes it hurts me when you see people in their bathrobe in church, but they will never wear that to work. And when you ask some of these people, they talk about the fact that I'm coming before my Father, my Heavenly Father in heaven. Why do I have to worry about my appearance? Well, I have news flash for those people. And my dear audience, I'm not being judgmental. This is Hour of Healing. We are here to
heal ourselves.
We are here to heal ourselves. Yes, I do. I did wear this shirt to church. So I'm not saying that dressing down to church is a problem. But you have to realize two main things. One, yes, God is our Heavenly Father that we have to come to. But please don't make the mistake of forgetting that God is the King of Kings who needs to be worshipped. He is both Father and King. And when the prince goes before his Father in his throne,
you go right.
Goes in his princely robe, not in a bathrobe. Let's pay attention to this, my dear Christian brothers and sisters. God is a father, yes. But
at the same time.
But at the same time, he is a king that ought to be served. If you do one and mistaken another, you are in error. And so we find that our older generation only saw him as king. And so they come to God with a fear. And, and that restricts them. It restricts their ability to express themselves. That is where religiosity was born out of. And then you have our current generation
who are not religious.
Only see him as a father. And so there is no discipline when we come to God. No.
Wow.
That side is wrong. He is the father and he is king. He ought to be seen as a father and he ought to be worshipped and served as a king. I hope that is healing enough for us. These are some of the ways. I've listed only five of them. But I think time will not permit us to go any deeper in any of these things. But engage these principles and I kid you not, you will possess every platform that you have access to.
Wow. That's very powerful. And these are things that I feel like they are not taken seriously, if I should say. Like, well, I have courage. I have confidence. It's like we don't apply. Maybe they are there, but we don't apply them. You know, if you're going to an interview, you know how to dress. But do you apply that in all aspects of your life? Do you apply how you look, your appearance, to speak for you, to speak of who you are, your values, your morals, in all walks of your life, or just to an interview? You know, so this is very powerful and it's really needed. And I just wanted to allude something on the communication with the polite thing that you said. I literally Googled what polite is, and it said showing consideration and respect for others in your behavior, speech, and manners. Wow. And I think that's one of the things that we have lost in our generation. Being polite does not just mean say the right thank you, you know, like the example you gave, but it goes further. It's just showing respect in your behavior, in the way you are speaking, in your manners. And you appear before kings, like what we talked about in the part one. A man's gift paving way for them, your talents, your knowledge, all these stuff paving a way for you. You get there and you don't have no politeness about you. You act anyhow.
You lose the possession. You lose it.
Lose the right. You cannot attain that this opportunity or the door that has opened before you. So everything that we, Dr. Joe mentioned today, I think though we did not go in depth, you yourself can meditate on it. I literally just Googled the word he said, politeness, and look what is really encompassing it. Like you can literally, these are the things to do to acquire knowledge too, right? So search about it, meditate on it, think it through. And I think, you know, we'll be moving forward to attain our possessions. I think I'm being redundant again, but to possess our possessions. This is hour of healing. We are healing ourselves. No offense to anybody. Somebody out there say offense not taken. But yes, we are healing communities, cities, generations, individuals. So take this in good faith and just see where it takes you. I'll hand it over back to Dr. Joe as we wrap up today's discussion. Again, the theme was gaining access, losing possessions. Don't forget to listen to the part one and couple it with the part two. Don't just listen to the part two because you'll be lost. It's a continuation of the first one, last week's. All right.
Thank you so much, Sister Candace. And yes, gaining access, losing possession. That is important in life for us to gain access. Talent is good, but talent is not enough. Making or gaining entrance to the door is good. Having that key to open the door is good. But opening the door alone, as far as destiny actualization is concerned, is not enough. You can open 1,000 doors, all of which contains good things. But without you grabbing hold of what lays in the door, you have not gained possession. So, my dear listener, don't invest all your time in gaining access, as we talked about at length in part one, and ignore the need to possess. And so the reason why we call this gaining access, losing possession, is that it's a call to our generation that we are doing a lot of good work in gaining access. When I look at my generation, we are doing a lot of good work.
Yes.
Gaining access in the area of business, entrepreneurship, wealth, ministry. We are doing a lot of good things. But my friends, let's not make the mistake of gaining all this access by our good works and the grace of God upon our lives. Let's not put in the work to gain that access but lose possession of them. Everything that God has made available to you and I as a possibility for us, I am here with Sister Candace to announce to you that they are for our possession. They are for our taking, and for our taking for the good, for them to benefit us, our families, and to benefit our communities and this nation as a whole. But that benefit will not happen unless we get to that place of possession. God bless you so much for joining us today on Hour of Healing. Don't forget to tune in next week as we bring you another life-changing and thought-provoking topic, as we consider a topic called the cost of greatness. The cost of greatness. Friends, share this platform with your loved ones, with your friends. And as Sister Candace said, and as I say every day, we are healing ourselves and we are healing our communities. One podcast episode at a time. God bless you. We will see you same time next week. Bye-bye.